Good to be at the Hour of Power service. Amen. I'm so blessed to be here, of course, this evening. I just want to thank God, as always, for my salvation. How many of you know you never, ever start your day without thanking Him for your salvation? Every morning, thank Him for your salvation, because it wasn't, you didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. Amen. But He was so merciful that He reached down His hand of grace. And He just touched our lives and completely turned it around. I'm so grateful for that. And of course, I'm also grateful for my husband. I don't take it lightly. I just love him so much. Honestly, as the years go by, it does get better and better. And some people say, you know, how in the world do you stay together so long? What is the trick? What is the key? And it's Jesus. Is Jesus is in your life, and He changes your life and your heart and makes you a more humble person. How many of you know it takes a lot of humility to be married? It really does. It really does, because, you know, everybody wants to go into that fight of I'm right and you're wrong and you're wrong. But you know what I'm telling you right now? It's been through God's changing power that has kept us together, that we can humble ourselves. And so I just want to thank the Lord for Him this evening. And I just love God's word. Don't we love God's word? It's the power that fuels us to do what He's called us to do. And Father, we just thank You tonight, God. We thank You for Your word, Father. We thank You for the power of the Holy Spirit, oh God. And right now, Father, we pray that Your Holy Spirit would move in this place, God. You don't need a speaker, God. You can do it all by yourself. But I thank You for choosing me tonight. And I pray in the name of Jesus that this word that You've given me, Father, would be transmitted, Father God, and it would ignite in the hearts of Your men and women. God, we're trusting You, Father. We're trusting You for a move of the Holy Spirit, oh God. We're trusting You, Father, that as we go into our city, we are going to take our city. It's not by might or by power, but it's by Your Spirit, God. And I yield to that Spirit tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said amen. Thank you, worship team. I want to get right into this. I believe the Lord has just really been speaking to me personally that that it's really, really a time and an hour that we have to be 100% engulfed in the Holy Spirit. It's not a time that we can just lollygag through Christianity. It's not a time that we can patty cake our way. It's not a time that we can be in manana land. It's really an urgent time, and I'm not sure if we all understand the urgency of the time we're living in. It's a very prophetic time. It's a time where history is really going crazy. I mean, it's being made, but things are really happening socially and going crazy, which would make us think that God is not in control. But we have to understand tonight that God is God, and He raises up kingdoms and He tears them down with His own hands. He's the one who raises up kings and kingdoms, and He is in control. Tell your neighbor, God is in control. The portion of scripture I want to read tonight is found in the book of Acts, chapter 19. And the title of my message is, Are You Lit? Come on, Sister Barbie, are you trying to be hip? No, it's a word. Lit means to be on fire. Lit means to be awake and alive. Amen. Lit means to be a symbol of something people can see that's burning bright. Amen. Lit means to be on fire for God. And tonight, as we read this, we're going to really understand something about the Holy Spirit. Starting in verse 1, it says, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul went through the island regions and came to Ephesus. He found some disciples there. He found some Victory Outreach people there. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They replied, no, we have not heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul said, into what were you baptized? Into John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come. And after him, that is in Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized. And in the name of the Lord. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began to speak in tongues and then to prophesy. Now there were about 12 of them. Now picture this. Here goes Paul. He's traveling and he's traveling the land. And he's walking through this village. And by discernment, he realizes they're disciples. The Bible says that we're going to know each other. Amen. And he knew that they were disciples. But he also knew they were dead disciples. He knew they weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, he discerned it and he called it out. And the minute he called it out and prayed over them, the power of God fell upon them. I could imagine him saying something like, what have you been doing all this time? You've been going to church in a religious mode? You've been going to do evangelism with no passion? You've been going to your events with no passion? That, my friend, is religious. And Paul was about changing the spirit of religion into relationship because that had happened to him. There was no way that Paul was going to allow the experience that he had in that road of Damascus to be transformed by the power of God to be nothing. In fact, when he went away to his home, because he was in the home, he was in the home of a man of God. That's why I love the homes, because they are God sent. Amen. They are definitely ordained by God. And that's a place where you can really get a hold of God if you want to. And it was in this place that God transformed him and filled him with the Holy Spirit and made him. He went from being a religious man to a man that had a true relationship with God. And now that he was walking in the Holy Spirit, he could see and discern when people were dead. I'm going to read it to you in the Message version. It says, now it happened while Apollos was on his way in Corinth, Paul made his way down through the mountains, came through Ephesus, and happened to see some disciples there. The first thing he said is, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you take God into your mind only, or did you also embrace him in your heart? Did he get inside of you? And this evening, I want to ask you, has Jesus and the Holy Spirit got inside you? The evidence of you knowing he is inside of you is your passion. You're not going to do things just because you're asked to. You're going to seek the face of God until you get the passion for it. And when you get the passion for it, you are going to do what God has called you to do with passion. I am serving the Lord 40 years later, 40 plus years later, because I have passion. And I will preach as passionate then as I do today, because I've never lost it, because I let Jesus get inside me. I let the Holy Ghost get inside me. And if you are just going through the emotions tonight, God wants to get inside you. Tonight, I'm the Apostle Paul, so to speak, coming through Victory Albuquerque and saying, is Jesus inside you? Is the Holy Ghost inside you? Do you have the passion every single morning to do what God has called you to do? If your passion, well, let me tell you, your passion can get low. You can get a little dry. You can go through your dry seasons. Those things can happen. But it's up to you to begin to get it back. Verse 4, he says, Paul preached a baptism of radical life changing so that people would be ready to receive the one coming, and it turned out to be Jesus. And if you're baptized in John's baptism, you're ready now for the real thing, for Jesus. See, John was the one that went before. Amen? He went before to make preparation for the Messiah to come. He worked hard to make way for the Messiah. He worked hard. He had the power of the Holy Ghost since he was in his mama's belly. All you pregnant mamas, and we got some pregnant mamas in the house, pray over your baby. Your baby can be filled with the Holy Ghost in your womb. How do I know that? I have 4 beautiful daughters that are touched and filled with the Holy Ghost. I have 6 grandchildren that are filled with the Holy Ghost. They might not be obeying the Holy Ghost all the way, but they are filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And God has had his hand upon them. God had his hand upon John the Baptist. God had his hand upon him because he knew that he was going to be doing something out of the ordinary. The Bible says he was so ordinary or extraordinary and rare and different that he ate locusts and honey. That was his meal. Have you ever eaten a locust? A grasshopper? You have? Glory to God. There might be the next John the Baptist. Just kidding. I mean, grasshoppers? I hate grasshoppers. They bug me. They're supposed to be good. Somebody say chocolate-covered grasshoppers are the best. They're crunchy or whatever. I'm not going to be eating no grasshoppers. And honey, that was his diet. He was just so different. I remember one time Jerry Leyba dressed up for one of our hallelujah things that we had. And he actually came as John the Baptist. And on his robe, he had grasshoppers on one side. Does anybody remember that? And then on the other side, he had a little pouch with honey. We said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm John the Baptist." And it was just the cutest thing ever. But you know, John's life was no ordinary life, and neither is yours. It was not. And he came to prepare the way. Now, Paul has met the Messiah. He knew the Messiah. He had an encounter with the Messiah, but he was filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. He went from having a religious relationship to now a personal relationship. As Christians, men and women of God, we need to have a personal relationship filled with the power. Let me tell you what the word power means. Do you want to know what the word power means? Y'all think you know, but you don't. It means an energy. It means force. It means momentum. It means a work done of energy transferred to a unit. That's you. You're a unit tonight. It means might. It means vigor. It means potential. It means forceful force. God wants you lit. There is no way God wants you to stay lukewarm. If you've lost your fire tonight or it's going out in some way, shape, or form, God wants to reignite you. He wants you to be lit from every single day of your life. Amen. The Bible says in Revelation 3:15, he says, "I know your deeds and that you're neither cold, invigorating, refreshing, nor hot, healing, therapeutic. I wish that you were either hot or cold. So because of your lukewarm, spiritual, useless, neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth, reflecting you with disgust." That's a hard word. That's the Amplified version. I was hearing a teaching the other day by Rod Parsley, and he was saying to spew wasn't just like, I mean, we say spit. We think of it as spit. But literally, it means to vomit. It means disgust. Have you ever eaten something that was disgusting to your taste buds? And it just made you throw up. I mean, I have. And this is a hard word to say that you're either going to be hot or cold. Because listen, I came from a dead religion. And my religion, it taught me about God, but it didn't teach me how to live for God. It didn't teach me how to have a relationship with God. It taught me how to go before a man instead of God. It taught me that I had to go through things to get to God. But in our relationship with Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, all we have to do is come to him and by faith and make our requests known to him. That is a relationship. My God lets me come before him. My God hears my prayers. My God cares when I'm down. My God sees me when I'm sad. My God sees everything I need. My God meets my needs. My God says no when he means no. And my God will open a door when he wants to open a door. That's my God. And that's your God. He's a real, live God. He is not a dead saint sitting on a shelf with nothing. He has nothing to give. Dead religion. I'm sick of dead religion. I got as far away from it as I could. And you need to get as far away from it as you can, because even in Christianity, you can fall into dead religion. Dead religion means that I'll go to a street rally, but I don't have no passion to pray for someone. Dead religion means I'll come to church, but I don't have no passion to raise my hands. Dead religion means I'll go to church and hear pastor preach, but I've already heard this. Dead religion means you shut yourself off to the Holy Spirit. And God is saying, if we're going to win our city, if we're going to be the lit church on fire, if we're going to do what God has called us to do, then it's time for us to get filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and quit playing church, because God is looking for victory outreach to get on the cutting edge. Listen, there's not a lot of us, but Jesus turned the world upside down to a 12. And it doesn't take a lot of big numbers to win our city, but it takes a lot of prayer and a lot of faith. Our pastor was talking about faith this morning. He was talking about the promise and how we went through things to get somewhere. And that's the truth. Listen, my faith hasn't grown just because I've been a good Christian. My faith has grown because I have some scars, some battle scars. These scars prove that my pain wasn't in vain, but that it was for God's glory and honor, so that someone else could experience the healing power of Jesus Christ. Your pain is not just for you. Your pain is for the next dope fiend sisters in the home. Your pain is for the next rejected woman, wife who has been rejected. Your pain, man of God, that you've gone through in your quietness and your pain and your suffering and nobody knows about, is to set your brother free. There's some people that need to hear our message. Our message is the hope of Jesus Christ. And it's not going to be done with a dead church. Jesus was serious when he was talking about that. To have power means that you're going to take responsibility to use the power. What do you do with God's power? What do you do? What do you do with it? I know what we need to do with it. We need to start getting violent to take the violence off the streets. What does that mean? In Matthew 11:12, it says, from the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent men take it by force. Aren't we ready to take this city by force? Aren't we ready to tell the devil, you can't have those people? When we go to them in our rallies, we're telling the devil he can't have them. They belong to Jesus. They're not his. They don't belong to him. They belong to God. Your family belongs to God. They've been bought with the blood of Jesus. There was a price that was paid. And we have to get violent. How many of you were violent? Be honest. Come on, it's okay. Shame the devil. Tell the truth. I was violent. Yes, I was little old Sister Barbara, your cute little pastor's wife. Can you tell I was violent? I allowed God to turn that into violence against the enemy. When I realized one day what the devil tried to do in my life, when I had an awakening of his plan of destruction for my life, I rose up with a holy anger and I began to intercede. This was about the time I was praying for pastor. I decided, you know what, devil, you're a liar. You will not win. And I'm telling him today he's not going to win, because I'm facing some circumstances and I serve him notice that he is not going to win. He is not going to win, because my God is greater. He's greater. And God's proven his power over and over and over and over. Do we have to be like the Israelites? Do we have to get physical manna from heaven for God to show us that he's real? He's real. Look at your neighbor. He's a miracle. She's a miracle. God is real. God is real, and he's in the life-changing business. Amen. If you're a religious Christian like those guys were, somebody's going to come along and they're going to poke you. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. They're going to tell you, you know what, sister? You know what, brother? It's time for you to get the Holy Ghost. It's time for you to quit going through Christianity and the motions, just like a religious person. The world is not looking for religious people. They're not looking for religious people. They're looking for righteous people. people that are lit and on fire for God. And I believe that God has given us a church, a beautiful church, a beautiful people that love God. And maybe you're struggling to get on fire, but I'm telling you right now, if you don't get on fire, you're not going to last, because it's the power of God that keeps you. It's the power of God that sustains you. It's the power of God that brings you through things. It's the power of God that brings you through. We have a job to do. God hasn't raised up a plan B. There is no plan B for the streets of Albuquerque. There is no plan B. Jesus, if he was here, and he is through us, he'd be on the streets. He'd be reaching people. He'd be going with the sinners to eat. One day as I was thinking about someone I've been working with, and I'm like, oh, sometimes you get frustrated. Don't they get it in their head? And the Lord said, how long did it take you? And I was, okay, I'm sorry. And I'm like, but Lord, and the Lord said, how long did it take you? Oh, okay. And it's taken us a long time, and we realize that. But the Lord reminded me that, you know, we're all sinners saved by grace. But I'm telling you, it's an amazing grace that's manifested in this church. It is an amazing grace. I think sometimes we just get used to it. We get used to people coming to the altars and getting saved. We get used to our altar calls at the rallies. Listen, that doesn't happen just to happen. That happens because the Holy Spirit has ordained every single rally. You know the way they went down. Pastor explained it this morning. If we would have been up there, we would have got rained out. But God orchestrated the whole day. Even being late, Brother Dave, that's okay. Everybody was late because of a funeral that we had yesterday. But I'm telling you, when everything got on schedule, it happened exactly in the timing God wanted it to. Because every soul was prepared. Those 28 people that got saved were ready. They got the flyer. They got some hope. They were going to get to that rally. And there's going to be hundreds of kids in our parking lot. And we want to bring hope to them. We want to give them hope. Our children are hurting in this city. And we want to bring them hope. We want them to have a fun day, even if it's just for 3 hours. Can't we all come and bring some hope to some little kids? Oh, kids are God's heart. The Bible says, don't suffer the little ones to come up unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. I'm telling you guys, you might think we're just doing a bunch of activities and a bunch of events, but they are ordained by God. They are in his heart. People are in his heart. He's not looking for a church to sit in its pews and be stinky. Because that's exactly what will happen. Stinky Christians. He's looking for people to take the responsibility, to take it serious, to quit playing games, to quit messing with the Holy Ghost, to invite the Holy Ghost in all the way, all the way. To get transformed by his awesome power. To let go of our selfish ways and desires. I'm telling you, serving God in ministry is the best thing you could ever do. The rewards are so great. I'm not talking about monetary rewards. I'm talking about the reward of peace and joy and satisfaction of seeing a life transformed before your very eyes. Victory Outreach Albuquerque, don't get used to that. Don't get used to people's lives being transformed before you, because it's not an ordinary thing. It's not an ordinary thing. We have the privilege of seeing people, men and women, come through these homes day after day, come in and be changed by the power of God. We witness miracles in the making before our eyes, and we cannot afford to take that lightly, because when we do, we're just as bad as those disciples. They were called disciples, but they weren't filled with the Holy Ghost. Stand with me right now. I understand passion getting tested. I understand tiredness. I understand physical problems. I understand times of saying, I think I'm burnt out, and then realizing, no, I got up this morning. I'm not done. I have experienced times where my passion has been tested and tried. Passion is love, loving people, loving each other for who they are. People are going to test you. They're going to test your love. They're going to test your passion. But no trial, no lack of finances, no bad days, no days of lack of leadership, no days of being accused falsely. There has been some days like that. None of those days could quench the fire of God in me. And it's the Spirit of God that will take us to a place of forgiveness and mercy for others. Just recently, I sat across a woman of God, and she is a woman of God. But a few years ago, she was not my friend. She was a best friend, and then she wasn't my friend. And she had said some really horrible things personally. Really horrible things. And I almost was destroyed because I thought she was my friend. It was speaking out of hurt and pain. And it was a very difficult time for me. And if you know me and those that were close to me, I almost didn't come out of that. My passion and my love were almost destroyed. But I have a conviction that I have to go before my Father. Even when I don't feel Him, He's there. And even when I don't see Him, He's there. And I had to go before my Father and ask Him to search me. Search me, God. I don't want to lose Your Holy Spirit. Search me. Know me. See if there's any wicked way in me. And because I did that, I'm telling you, God turns things around. He turns it around because of the Holy Spirit. And I sat across from this woman the other day with no hurt and no pain, but love. Nothing but love. And she kept telling me, please forgive me, please forgive me. I said, I did it a long time ago. It's done. You need to forgive yourself now and move forward, because you have a family to heal and you have a work to do for God. Only the Holy Spirit could help us do that. So the Holy Spirit works in so many ways. And we don't want you to miss it. You can miss it if you just keep going through Christianity as a religious person. But if you will say and be honest before God today and say, you know what, I don't really feel like doing these things sometimes. I don't really have the passion. I don't really want to pray sometimes. I really don't want my word. But I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight. I want to be those disciples that get baptized in Your power one more time to be able to go the distance. If that's you tonight, come up here, because God showed me there's a whole lot of you, and it's not just the homes. And He wants to minister to you tonight. He wants to fill you with His power tonight.
Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who You are.
Everybody, press in with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by His Spirit. Oh, He is the way maker.
That is who You are.